Turn it over to you, Sarah. Dick.
Thanks, Bert. We have an amazing privilege today to learn from this man right here, Dick Blackwell. If you don't know, Dick Blackwell is our founding pastor. He planted Grace Covenant Church 38 years ago, back in 1985. We call him our founding pastor, but if you know him as a father, which most of you in this room probably do, I like to call him our founding father of Grace Covenant Church. So really what we're going to do today is learn about Holy Spirit from him. And I'm going to also just sit here and learn, like you, everything that I can from him, because it's an honor to sit and learn from him.
Thank you. Is this on?
No. No. That's my job.
Bert, I'm sorry about the comment while you're speaking. Of course, he did say to repent and be baptized. In some of our earlier baptisms in the church, we had one with 30 people one time in Lake Shenandoah during an ice storm. And another time out at the Shanks, we had to break the ice with an axe. So you get to do it here at a nice warm pool.
So go ahead, call the church office, get yourself signed
up. It means the same.
Get a t-shirt.
Oh yeah, that's all you got with us was coal. Well, this is Pentecost Sunday, a special day in the church. However, it was a special day for the Jewish people. They called it Pentecost. They had a celebration. So it's pretty interesting that they celebrated the coming of the law to Moses. We celebrate the coming of the Spirit to bring the law in our hearts, where we're not trying to follow just the word itself. An interesting scripture from John chapter 7, where on the scripture tells us that on the great day of the feast, that Jesus stood up and cried, says, whoever believes in me and thirst, let him come to me. And he said, for out of your heart, or, and well, King James says belly, will flow rivers of living water. And then John comments and says, Jesus said this about the Spirit, for he had not yet come, because Jesus wasn't glorified. Now, what did it mean the Spirit hadn't come? Wasn't the Spirit hovering over the earth when it was formed? Didn't he inspire the prophets and the leaders in the Old Testament? Didn't he actually come upon Jesus at his baptism? Right. Of course. But what he meant was he was going to come in a different role from what he had been. So in a way, his coming at Pentecost, the one we call Pentecost, was like the birthday of the church. The church was formed, and we sung that in one of our songs this morning. But it was also in a way like the birthday of the Holy Spirit. Well, he always was. Jesus was always before, but we celebrate his birthday, excuse me, on December 25th. So in a way, we celebrate the Holy Spirit's birthday today.
You want some water?
What?
Do you want some water?
Oh, yeah. I always do that. You know, after Jesus' resurrection, after his resurrection, he taught the disciples 40 days about the kingdom of God, the scriptures say. And then he told him, said, at the time he was ready to leave, he said, I want you to wait in the city until the promise of the Father comes upon you. So I can't imagine they had any idea what that was really like, but they were just told to stay there. So he don't depart. And he said, you've heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And you will receive power, that is boldness and anointing, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and even to the othermost parts of the earth. Wow. Harrisonburg.
That's right.
So on the day of Pentecost, we read in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 and 4, it said they'll all gather together in some upper rooms, about 120 of them, and all of a sudden a sound of a mighty rushing wind filled the place. And then tongues like fire fell on them, and they began to speak in other tongues. And at that time, it was the feast of Pentecost for the Jewish people, so a lot of people were in Jerusalem. And they heard them speaking in tongues, amazingly, hearing many of them in their own language. And at first they thought maybe they were drunk. They said, are these people drunk? And Peter said, look, it's only 9 in the morning. They're not drunk. This is what's happening to them is what was spoken about in the scripture, the promise of the Father, the gift of the Holy Spirit to minister to them. So he explained, he said, look, this is what's happening to them can happen to you, basically. He said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And here's a very key verse. For the promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls for himself. Yeah. Everyone who the Lord calls. If you've been called, it's for you. And so, you know, he had told them he was going to be leaving. He told his disciples. And he said, look, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter or helper to be with you, the Spirit of truth. He told him, he said, when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And another place, when he was talking to his disciples, he said, look, I tell you, it's to your advantage if I go away. Because I will send the helper, and he will be with you. And he said, he's like me, another helper, I thought was... but in a different form. You know, in those days, if you were with Jesus and his crowd walking, say, from Capernaum up to Nain, and hearing him teach and share, you were with him. But if you were in another city, you were not with him. So he was only in one place at one time. The Spirit's new role was to be with everyone all the time, everywhere. So he said, I'm going to send this, the promise of the Father, when I go away. Interesting, there's a book by Max Lucado.
I think we have a picture of it in that slideshow. There you go.
Help is here. Max Lucado used to preach against the baptism of the Holy Spirit till he received it. So that book, they have it at the bookstore, and he's agreed to give you a discount if you go get it, if you want to read about it. It's great.
At Blessings Bookstore.
Yes. Anyway, you know, he said it was for everyone who Jesus had called. A couple examples. Philip went up to Samaria, or went down to Samaria. It's kind of like if you, we would call going down to Winchester. But Samaria was north of Jerusalem, but it was Jerusalem was higher, so they were going downhill. That's interesting. It always confused me when I came here. I kept talking about going down to Winchester. But anyway, Philip went down to Samaria and shared the gospel with some people. They came to Christ. And when he went back, he told the disciples in Jerusalem. And Peter and John went back to Samaria and to lay hands on them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. And we're not sure exactly what happened, but it was obvious to those that were there that the Spirit had come upon them and changed them in some way. Another one was when Peter reluctantly went to the house of Cornelius, a Gentile, and the Lord sent him, basically, and he started, it was going to share with him about the Lord, and the Holy Spirit came upon him. They began to speak in tongues before Peter even said much. And when Peter went back to Jerusalem, he was kind of, he said, what can I do, guys? These were Gentiles, but the Holy Spirit just came on them anyway. So, you know, I couldn't. In those days, the Jews weren't supposed to relate to the Gentiles. And one more other example, Paul was going through Ephesus, and when he got there, he found some believers. And he asked him, said, what baptism did you have? Or first he asked, he said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said, we don't know anything about a Holy Spirit. So he explained to them and laid his hands on them, and they received the Spirit, spoke in tongues, which was a sign to the disciples that they'd received as well. Well, this still happens today.
That's right.
Becky and I would have never come to Harrisonburg, just a place where we knew nobody. We knew we had to come. We didn't have a job. I remember when I called the bank to see about getting a loan, the guy said, well, what is your salary? And I said, well, I don't know. The Lord is going to provide. Click.
I think it's safe to say that Grace Covenant Church wouldn't be here without the infilling of Holy Spirit in you and Becky.
Absolutely. Right? I mean, because the Spirit of God, when he baptized us in the Spirit, we moved into a new dimension of walking with him, where we wanted to follow him, whatever he said to do. And there were so many ways that he strengthened us, enabled us, built our faith to be able to do crazy things. One, I want to give you an example. The baptism of the Holy Spirit can do, what he does to you through the baptism is enable you to be more than you would have been on your own, just following Christ. When we were in seminary, we went to, long story how we got there, but we went to a seminary in South Carolina called Erskine Seminary. And while we were in seminary, we had the Lord provided many, many opportunities to grow in Christ and to witness the power of the Holy Spirit. And one of the ones was a lady in our church called us one day, and she said, my son's daughter has been on drugs, LSD, and she was coming off, but she was a wreck. And he had sent the daughter, the son had sent his daughter to her grandmother to take care of in this new, in Greenwood where we lived. Well, the grandmother, the girl was still really messed up, but she was going through withdrawals and everything else. She must have done something that she, heroin, I mean, I was told that LSD, you just take it, but she had marks on her arm where she shot herself. She was a mess. And the grandmother called us and said, Dick, Becky, could you take the girl? I can't handle her. So we took her in to come live with us sometime before Christmas, because I remember we had her then. And she was a mess at first. She could hardly do a sentence. But anyway, as she lived with us, she began to mellow, and she, of course, heard the gospel. You know, we'd sat around the table, our oldest son, Rick, who's in heaven, and Ed and Stacy and Becky and I talking about the Lord. I don't know when or exactly how she came to Christ, but I do know that one day we got her a job at Rose's. We knew the manager well, and he would have never hired her otherwise, but we got him to do it. Anyway, I was bringing her home from work one evening, she said, Dick, can I, she said, Mr. Blackwell, can I tell you something? I said, sure. She said, Jesus is dumb. I think I've told you this before. I said, that's interesting. Why you'd say that? And she said, because I know he loves me in spite of my past. And when she was able to know that, I knew she'd come. So shortly after that, we baptized her in Lake Greenwood. And then about the same time, while I was at seminary, I stuck my head in just to see the dean, Dr. Allison. I said, hi, Dr. Allison. He said, come in, Dick, quick. He said, I just got two letters from ARP, that's Associated Reformed Presbyterian Pastors, saying, what is this baptism of the Holy Spirit, this charismatic movement? We don't understand it. And Dr. Allison said, I don't know how to explain it to him. Dick, you're going to have to help me. And I said, well, I tell you what, why don't you sponsor a conference on the Holy Spirit, and that way we can explain it. He said, well, I wouldn't know who to invite. We don't have the money to put on a conference, to pay honorariums. And I said, well, if you sponsor it, if the seminary will sponsor it, I'll get the speakers and I'll get the money. And all you got to do is put your name on it, on the sponsorship.
I think it's worth noting that he was a student and he was talking to the dean. And I kind of love that.
It was crazy, but God did it. And I had been to the Sinai with Jamie Buckingham for a week and gotten to know a guy named Peter Marshall, Jr., who was a Presbyterian pastor up in New York, or up in New England. And so I thought, well, I can call him. Maybe he can come. He couldn't come, but he told me of a pastor in Rochester, Presbyterian pastor, and also taught in a seminary. And I knew of another ARP pastor in Charlotte. So we invited them, and they agreed. The community we were living in Greenwood came up with them. We got $2,000 overnight. People were so excited about the seminary sponsoring a conference. Yeah, thank you. So anyway, we had the conference. The pastors came on Friday sometime, I don't know, mid-morning. we served them. And so these two pastors that were there taught them about things we're talking about, yeah. And we had lunch for them. They had sessions in the afternoon. I don't know where they spent the night. I can't remember that. But then the next morning, they were there till about noon. We sent them off with a bag lunch. And one of the pastors, the guy from New England, said he could stay over. And so we had a public meeting that night, worship service like this, with worship and teaching he taught. And after the service, they said, pray for ones to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit or whatever need they had. And they were in the side room. Well, I'd pretty much been responsible for the conference, so I was hanging around in the auditorium. And Dr. Rubel, who was going to be the dean next year, the following school year, came over to me and said, Dick, do you think they're speaking in tongues in the back room? I said, they could be, probably. He said, well, I've never heard tongues. I think I'm going to go back there. I want to hear it. I said, Dr. Rubel, that is not the reason to go in there. I said, you know, it's not something just to observe. If you want prayer, go. But if you don't want prayer, you're not supposed to do that. He said, okay. So I looked at him a few minutes later, and he was way over in the corner of the room, the very last pew, and I could tell he was praying. So I thought, that's interesting. So another minute or two, he comes over to me, and he said, Dick, I'm supposed to go. I said, okay, let's go. So we went in, and there were like four men and an older lady, and Teresa. Teresa had just received the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Teresa was the young girl that was living with them that had come back around.
So Dr. Rubel walks in, and the first thing he says, I'm going to be the dean of the seminary next year. It's an awesome responsibility. I need prayer. And he went right down on his face, laying on the floor. Suit, tie, but he was prostrate on the floor. So we gathered around him to pray, and he was laying down, I was by his right shoulder, and Teresa was right by his head. Well, we started to pray in English, but she started to pray or speak in her three syllables that she had just received. Over and over and we prayed about 5 minutes, and she did that 5 minutes, loudly. Well, I was kind of embarrassed because he wanted prayer, and I thought, all he's hearing is this, her tongue.
And you said she was right by his head, right?
And she was right by his head and loud. I tried to move her a few times. I told somebody later, you couldn't have moved her with a bulldozer. She was locked in. She actually one time pushed his head. Anyway, she did it the whole time. And anyway, so he finally got up, thanked us, and left. And I was, be honest with you, I was embarrassed. I said, Lord, he wanted prayer. All he got was this. So since I was in charge, I kind of had to wait till everything, and the janitor and I were the last ones leaving. I think I postponed it because I was afraid I'd run into Dr. Rubel. And sure enough, when I left, it was in the spring, warm night. He was standing by his car when I came out. I actually thought of going around the block the other way. But anyway, he said, Dick, come here. I want to talk to you. I thought, Dr. Rubel, I'm sorry about that. He said, that girl that prayed for me, that was the most beautiful prayer I've ever heard in my life. And he said, he said, the girl that was right by my head. I said, Dr. Rubel, she was just speaking three syllables for 5 minutes. He said, "Oh no, Dick, it was wonderful." She not only had a beautiful prayer, but she reminded me, basically, stir up the gifts that had been in you. When he was in college, he and some guys, if they saw somebody that they felt like really needed the Lord, they would hide in the library until it was closed, and then they'd pray all night, walking around, and he said, everybody we prayed for came to Christ. And it was like, this, and Teresa's, what he heard from her was, from God, was stir up those gifts like that again. And then he said, the Lord gave two words, prophecy type or whatever, direction, that when he became dean of the seminary, he was to have each of the professors sign a paper saying they believed that the scriptures were the word of God, not that they contained the word of God. Two of the professors wouldn't do it, and he released them. And the other thing he said that the Lord told him was, the seminary building was built in the 30s. It was brick, so it was a nice building, but the inside hadn't had anything done to it. I think this was in 76. It was really in bad shape. The floors were pretty much black. The curtains weren't all there. It wasn't in good repair. And the Lord told him that to have the seminary fixed up, but he was not to ask anybody for money, just pray and ask the Lord to do it.
So Teresa's prayer gave two directions to him,
yes,
moving forward prophetically, and a prophetic word of identity of who he was.
Crazy. Anyway, so he and a couple of other guys who were there began to pray on, I think it was like a Wednesday morning. For some reason, I couldn't be there, but I was praying with them. And they prayed for a couple different weeks, and then the seminary received a check for $1,000 from a Mr. Simpson. And Dr. Rubel's, it was the first money that came in. So he called Mr. Simpson and he said, we really appreciate the gift. It was $1,000 that you use it however you need to. He said, we really appreciate it, but I need to ask you a question. He said, how come you sent it right now? What prompted you to send it? And he said, I was praying and the Lord told me to send it for the seminary use. So Mr. Simpson, let me tell you what. He said, the Lord told us he wants to fix the building up, but we were not to ask anyone for the money. Just ask him, and he would move on ones to do it. So you were the first one to give. $1,000 in 76 was a fair amount of money. And Mr. Simpson had just sold his department store in Anderson to the Belks. So he called Mrs. Belk in Charlotte and told her what was happening at the seminary. So Dr. Rubel told me that he said the next, shortly after that, he was in the president's office and he only heard one side of the conversation, obviously, but he said the president said something like, we have other buildings that also need to be fixed up. But okay, seminary would be wonderful. Mrs. Belk sent two interior decorators down to evaluate the building and spent about $300,000 totally renovating the inside. Becky and I saw it a couple years after. They did it during the summer before the school year started. The floors were beautiful, curtains, leather chairs, kerosene rugs. It was like a show place. All that ended up coming from a girl coming off of drugs speaking three words, three syllables. The Holy Spirit can do things with you that you could never have done on your own. It's just amazing. Many of you in here have heard this story, but I rehearse it probably at least once a week in my own life because it builds my faith. Like, okay, God, you can do anything.
Tell them how you saw Dr. Rubel or talk to him on the phone years later.
Well, Becky and I went back down to visit at Erskine a couple years later, as I said, and saw the seminary building, wonderful. And we had lunch with Dr. Rubel and his wife, and during that conversation, he said, "Dick, did she really speak in three syllables?" I said, "Yes." And I said, "Did you really hear what you say?" Well, it's interesting. About a year and a half ago, I was thinking of him. There are a lot of other stories with Dr. Rubel as well, and many more with Teresa. But anyway, I was thinking of Dr. Rubel, so I gave him a call. We talked for about 20 minutes. When I hung up, I told Becky, I said, "I don't think he placed what," because he had many students over the years, "that he placed who I was." But the next morning, he calls me back, and he said, "Dick, I didn't realize yesterday, but he," so we talked, and one of the first things he said, "Did she really speak?"
That's incredible.
I said, "Dr. Rubel, she did." He said, "Well, it changed my life." Now, a girl coming off of drugs changes a seminary dean's life with three syllables. It's God. It's God. He does great things. The Holy Spirit is with us. If you've come to Christ, the Holy Spirit brought you there. You think you made the choice. You didn't. You were influenced greatly to do that. So the Holy Spirit is with every believer. Jesus said, though, that he is with you and he will be in you. That's what he told his disciples. It's for everyone, for all those who are far off, everyone whom the Lord calls. So today we celebrate Pentecost, the day of the coming of the Spirit in a new form, new way to work. Many of you here have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Fact is, I think maybe in the lobby.
It's on the information desk.
The lady that was here at the ladies' conference.
Havila Cunnington.
What did she say about you?
When she was here, she gave a prophetic word to the church, and one of the things that she said that I thought was really profound is that we're building on the roots and not just the memories. And I think that's really important for us here at Grace, because the roots of Grace Covenant Church, we were planted through the belief system of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, charismatic worship through the power of Holy Spirit. And you, as founding pastor, started this place with being filled by the Spirit, and you had a newspaper article about that.
Well, we put an announcement in the newspaper. I went back and found a copy of it this week, and the one I found was in September the 4th, that's a Saturday, 1976, the day before Church in the Valley started. And in that announcement in the paper, we said we believed that the gifts, the manifestation, among other things, the gifts and manifestations, the power of the Holy Spirit received through the baptism of the Holy Spirit by Jesus resulted in endowment with power, with evidence of speaking in tongues. We made it clear right from the beginning. what kind of church we were, what we believed. And it's not changed. This church still has the same beliefs about worship, fellowship, following after Jesus with a whole heart, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you've never received or asked for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but you're committed to following Christ and want to do it with a whole heart and serve Him, why wouldn't you want to be more than you be more than you could be otherwise? Why wouldn't you want to, if you're going to serve Him, why not serve Him with a whole heart, with all the fruits and enablements that we could have to do it? So I invite you today, if you've never received the Holy Spirit in this way, that you consider doing it. You can receive today. We can pray for you. If you want to be baptized by Jesus and the Holy Spirit, this is the day to do it. It's Pentecost.
That's right.
It can be the same for you as Peter, John, James, Mary, all of those in the early days.
Will the ministry team come forward?
Yeah.
And why don't you guys stand? And will you pray over us?
Yes. I tell you what, if you want to receive the Holy Spirit in this way never have before, if you'll raise your hand, those who've received the Spirit can pray, lay hands on you and pray with you today. It's a special day, church. The Lord is here to minister. I'm going to pray. Lord, we so thank you for what you've done, not only saving us, but enabling us to follow after you. Lord, the world is a mess. If it's ever needed you, it's now. Give us the boldness, the anointing, the desire to serve you with a whole heart. Enable us, Lord, by your Spirit. Pour your Spirit out upon us, Lord, that we might be faithful, fruitful servants of yours. Bless those who in this room today, right now, that are asking you to baptize them in this way with the Spirit. I pray that you honor their request. You said if we loved you, that you would, and we were willing to follow you, that you would give us the Spirit of God. We give you thanks for your great mercy and faith.
So if you want prayer for anything today, please come forward. Otherwise, we bless you to have a great Memorial Weekend Sunday, Pentecost Sunday, in Jesus' name. Amen.